There are many things in the Scriptures that remain a mystery to us. There are some things that we cannot, at least at our level of maturity, perhaps understand. There are some things in Scripture that I'm convinced that we're never going to understand this side of glory. There are some things that remain mysteries to us. But there's a number of places in the New Testament where the word mystery is used, and we have been looking at these for our evening Bible study here through the spring. And the great news is all of these mysteries that are spoken of are revealed. Whenever the Apostle Paul, or in one case the Lord Jesus, when they use the term mystery, right in the text of Scripture they say, this was a mystery, this is a mystery, but now it's a mystery that is being unveiled and broken open so that we can see it. And I want to direct your attention in this instance, here in Ephesians chapter 5, a familiar passage of Scripture, one that you no doubt have studied. And I want you to go down to verse 30. By the way, there's no outline tonight. This is so direct and simple. If you can remember two words, you can pretty much hang your thoughts on what we want to share tonight in this brief time in God's Word. In verse 30, it says this, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." It's obvious, if you read that verse, that he's talking about the body of Christ, which is the church. And then in verse 31, he quotes from a quote from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. He writes, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." It's obvious when you read that verse, he's talking about marriage that God instituted with the first man and the first woman there ever was in the Garden of Eden. So he's talking about the church, he's talking about marriage, and then verse 32, this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Beginning back in verse 22 of this same chapter, the Spirit of God inspires the beloved Apostle Paul to give what is the premier passage in all the New Testament on the subject of this relationship of marriage. And here he describes the church, he describes marriage, he says this is a mystery. There is a binding, a combining, a correlation between the two. And I'm not sure as you go through this passage you can get it all broken out, but basically he's talking in two tracks. The church, its relationship between Jesus as the bridegroom and the church as the bride, pictures the relationship of marriage. Marriage, a man and a woman becoming one, pictures the relationship between Christ and the church. Sometimes I've wondered, even out loud, well, is this a passage about marriage that he uses the church as the illustration? Is this a passage about the church and he uses a marriage as the illustration? I've come to the conclusion that the answer to that question is yes. It is both and. It is all together. And that's what I want to look at tonight as best we can. And there's just two key words you need to understand. And every one of us can put this into place. I know some of you say, well, I've never been married. I'm a single person. Some of you are single again because of circumstances of life. And let me just assure you that the words he's going to use fit all relationships. In fact, if you just kind of glance ahead, he talks in verses 22 through 33 about marriage. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, he talks about the parent-child relationship. In verse 5, he talks about the master-servant relationship. We apply that in terms of employer-employee relationship. And then he sums it all up with this thing that we all are servants of God. And basically these same two terms fit together in all of those relationships, but seen most clearly and most fulfilled or filled, I should say, in the marriage relationship. And we see these two words that apply both to marriage and to our relationship between the church and Christ. You find them both in these first few verses, beginning in verse 22. He says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." There's word number one, submit. Now notice some things that are not in the passage. Notice he does not say, "Husbands, your wife is to submit to you. Did you notice that? When he talks about submission, he puts the word right in the text. Wives, you submit to your husband. In other words, if you're a wife, this is your responsibility. You assume it. Your job is not to infer someone else's responsibility. Later he's going to talk to the husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. There you see that first kind of spin around this helix of truth that it's bound together in this spiral way. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. All the other relationships that he talks about later in this passage involve submitting to someone else. And by the way, go back to the verse that occurred before our reading. Look at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. All of us have an area in which we are to submit, whether it's to submit to Christ as the church, the head of the church, or in some earthly relationship. Submission is a word that in our culture is a very fine word. It's a biblical word. It's a godly word. It's a pure and holy word. But it has become stained and sullied in the thinking of the world today. Oh, you shouldn't have to submit to anybody. You can do whatever you want. You have total freedom to express yourself, to be, to do, and make it all about you. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't make it all about him when he became, as it said in verse 23, the Savior of the body. He was willing to give. He was willing to submit himself to the cross. He was willing to submit himself to the abuse of the authorities that railroaded him to the cross. And above it all, he was willing to submit himself to the will and the plan of the God the Father that he was bound to bring glory to. The Lord Jesus knows full well what submission is all about in ways that you and I know little about. So submission is not a bad word. And by the way, people who say, and in our world today, there are those who say that, well, the Apostle Paul, the New Testament, is very anti-women, and it's very very old-fashioned in its thinking. Anyone that says that, I can immediately know they really do not know the Bible, because that is not the case. Especially in the culture in which it was written. In the Jewish culture of the day, a Jewish man in the first century would pray a prayer of thanksgiving. A pious Jew would pray a prayer that would include two elements. Thank you, God, that I was not born a Gentile. And thank you, God, that I was not born a woman. You don't see Paul repeating that prayer anywhere in the New Testament, okay? He elevates the role of women. They have a role to play. They have a slot that fits into God's economy, but of value. And also in Jewish culture in their day, the practice was a husband could divorce his wife for any reason by just writing a bill of divorcement. The only thing it had to include was he had to include a statement that she was free to marry anyone that she so chose. And that's all it took. A wife, on the other hand, had absolutely no rights to divorce a husband for any reason. When you come to the New Testament, you see an arrangement, even out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, that reaffirms marriage is to be permanent. It is not to be just tossed away casually. Seems like we've kind of gone back to that thinking of the first century. In the Roman world, women had no rights in and of themselves. So people who say this sounds barbaric really don't know what they're talking about. So the first word is the word submission. That simply means that you willingly choose to follow the leadership of another. He says you are to do that. If you put that as the emphasis of your role and your responsibility in the marriage, you'll be doing, as a wife, you'll be doing what God asks you to do. We as a group of believers, now let's flip it back over to the Christ in the church, the head of the church, and we are the body. In our responsibility, we are to submit ourselves in everything unto Christ. We should lovingly and deliberately follow his lead in everything. Well, you know what? There's some things in here that bother me. Well, sorry. We are to lovingly follow the Lord in everything he says. There's some things that seem difficult in our world today. Probably so. But we are responsible to follow submissively the leading of our head in all things. So, to follow lovingly and those in everything. Now, there's one key phrase of verse 22 before we leave the subject of submission that I want you to see. Wives, submit to your own husbands, last phrase, as to the Lord. I've been meditating on what that exactly means. And I've begun to perceive it in a sort of a fresh way. I've taught this, I've studied this, I've used this text many times in wedding ceremonies. I've used this in trying to help couples with the struggles in marriage. But you submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You want to give a gift to the head of the church? Then you view what you do as a wife, and we're coming to the husbands in just a moment, so stand by. What you do it as a wonderful, precious gift that we give to the Lord. We do it for the Lord. We do it for the Lord's sake. We just had an offering, as Pastor Adam led us in it, and we've talked about the purpose of our offering tonight, a special purpose. And we do that joyously. We do that with great pleasure that we can give something to God to do something so special with it that we've already talked about. You want to give a special gift to God? You submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. But you don't know the husband I have. No, I don't. You don't really know the husband my wife has either. We are all imperfect people. We are all flawed. But we do it as unto the Lord. We do it as a choice, an act to willingly submit. Now, verse 25. Second word, just a simple word. One that you know very well. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Second word is love. He says, I tell you this great mystery. This mystery how the church and marriage kind of flow and wind together into a beautiful picture of what we are to be doing. Submission and love. Those are the two words. Submission, love. Husbands, love your wives, but you don't know the wife that I have, someone may say. Again, it goes back to the mutual submission you see in verse 21. It goes back to the as unto the Lord you see in verse 22. We do this as a gift to God. And what does that love look like? By the way, he spends a lot more time defining to husbands what love is than he spends defining to wives what submission is. I suppose that's because most of us men are a little harder headed than most of the women in the world. That's the only thing I can determine. But notice he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Now, first of all, the word love is a special word, and you've no doubt studied this somewhere in your biblical study. There are three Greek words that are translated love in Greek literature. The first is eros, which speaks of physical, attractive, that kind of love, sensual love. That word does not appear anywhere in the New Testament. There is the Greek word agape, which means brotherly love, just love among brothers. And then there's agape love, which is that word that speaks of divine, special, elevated, godlike love. That's the word that appears, or at least a form of it, that appears in verse 25. You love your wife unconditionally. You love your wife like Christ loved the church. Well, what does that look like? I'm glad you asked. He says, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, how much did he give for the church? He laid down his life for it. You see, this love is sacrificial. This love is giving. To the purpose, verse 26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he would make it better, that he would make it cleaner, he would make it holier. For this ultimate purpose, 27, do you see it there? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I don't know if you've had any weddings in your family recently, either close in or extended. I was talking to someone recently that had a wedding in their family, and I said, "Are you exhausted?" They said, "Yes." It starts the day or two or before, and it comes to the crescendo of a rehearsal and all that, and then you think, Have you ever noticed this? The ladies in the wedding party have to show up at 8 a.m. The men don't have to show up till noon. Because the ladies, it's full on to make everything perfect and the dress and the hair and the whatever else goes into it. Just to look at that moment spotless at that moment. That's what Christ is doing with us now. He's giving himself fully to us to clean us up, to make us the people that when the bride and the groom, bridegroom come together, that we are. It's a completed work of renovation. He summarizes in 28, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Speaking of that oneness. "No, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." There's a caring, there's a nurturing, there's a nourishing. Husband, as you love your wife, it is your job to make her a better person, to build her up, to love her as Christ loves the church. Now I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this for a moment. When you think about submission, when you think about love, whether you think about it of Christ and the church, whether you think about wives, husbands, husbands, wives, there is one word that is the opposite of love, and it's the same word that is the opposite of submission. You say, well, how can one word be the opposite of two things? I don't know, but it does, okay? It is simply this. It is called selfishness. The opposite of love is selfishness. The opposite of submission is likewise selfishness. I'm not going to submit to him. I'm going to take care of me. I'm not going to love her. I'm going to take care of me. What do you see in the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Go back, if you will, as he says here in verse 25, "who loved the church and gave himself for it." There's a certain amount, there's a large amount of giving and sacrifice in willingly to submit to the leadership of someone else and to be a person who loves his wife like Christ loved the church. There's a certain amount of turning from self to be a church, to be believers, to be a body of believers that we say, this is not about us. This is not about our comfort. It's not about our prestige. It's not about anything that feeds our pride or ego. But what we do as a collective body is we do this selflessly for the cause of Christ. Verse 30, we're back to where we began. "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Then he quotes the verse, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And then he summarizes it all in verse 33. "Nevertheless," even though he's already talked, he says this is about Christ and the church. That's a mystery. You wouldn't have seen this otherwise. You would not have known that marriage pictures the church and the church pictures marriage. But I've defined it for you. "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular," I love that phrase. It's like saying there is no excuses here. There's no loophole here. "Let each and every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." What a world it would be. What a church it would be. What homes we would have, what marriages we would have, if the words submission and love were the vocabulary that defined all that we do. And the word selfishness was banned from our vocabulary in all that we do. The mystery of Christ and the church is defined in verse 32. Is a way to bring us back that we all have work to do. It's time for us to go to work. Would you join me in prayer?